told over a couple of days ago how it was the first night of Shavuos in Kiryat Yavne. We were sitting around the table, we were discussing the sugya of Chalipin and great Iyun. So we made the Ha'ara at the time that what a wonderful way to go to Kabbalah Torah. But other ways that to go to Zman Matan Zarasena and to be Mamish, to be sitting and delving the Iyun Rav into the sugya, with any sugya, the sugya of Chalipin. So I was thinking the same thing this morning. You know, we're getting really reared up here towards Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim, and we're getting close to Yom Adin, we're getting close to Rosh Hashanah. So hopefully everyone's doing the right things. People spending time doing tshuva, people spending time trying to daven better, say slid, a lot of things that are supposed to be on a person's mind these days. But a person shouldn't forget that the greatest achronah for the Yom HaDin is to come to Rabban Shalom, mamash, in the middle of a sugya. Oh, the Iyun Rav, learning a sugya. He said, well, greater nachas ruach is after Rabban Shalom, that we're sitting and taking this Torah so seriously, even on the days as we're in shaking, as the Yom HaDin are upon us. So a person shouldn't take the attitude that oh, you know, it's so busy with everything else, you know, there's no time to learn. No time to learn. This is the best time to learn. It's the greatest achronah for the Yom HaDin. It said that over the name of the Kotzka, that the fourth Kiyah Shofar, you know what he used to do? Kotzka was an Isha Emes, so he said he has to think of one thing that's going to get him as possibly closest to the Kisya Kovar, and right before the Kiyah Shofar. Anyone knows what he did? He went to Ketzos. He said that Ketzos is such Amita Shel Torah, so he said that's the way to go. So he said, he went, sit on the Sigi, sit on the Sigi of Ketzos, a Chalipa, and Pesha, and Reda Tam, Shach, whatever, everything we're talking about now. This is the way, this is the Chodesh that he may have did. Rashi quotes in the Parsha Kriyashma that V'hoyo Dvar Me'el Shenech Matzach Hayom El Levavecha that Hayom Chol Yom Yivinek Yechadoshim. So it says Rashi gives the marshal, it's like a king. The king sends messages and they come hear ye, hear ye, from the message from the king. So most people, when the king's horsemen come riding in with a big message, so most people in town say, the king sends a message. He sent us a message last week and last month. Same message for him, nobody bothers listening. Rashi says that's a terrible thing. That's a tremendous bizarre to the melech. If you don't get excited, when the melech sends a message, even if it's something that you think you heard before, if you listen carefully, there's something important to it. There's a new nuance, there's a new chiddush, there's something else. If he's sending his horsemen, they're trumpeting away, there's got to be something special that he wants you to hear. So the greatest demonstration of kavod malchus is to treat the dvar of the melech as something which is new and fresh. So Rashi gives that marshal to Libra Torah. Says the Torah is the word of the Melech Machim Lachim Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person treats the word of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as another Tarsus, another Rav Chaim, another Kash, another Tarsus. Okay, come on, we'll forget this thing, we'll move to next thing. Yeah, come on, what's the big deal at all? We've been there, done that. We already learned Kadosh, we learned Pamitzir, we learned Pabab, we finished all already. That's a tremendous result into the Melech Machim Lachim. So after the days of getting ready for Bar Malchus Shemayim, the greatest way to get ready is such a slav, such excitement. And the Bar Malchus, the Bar Shalom has what to say. The king has what to tell us. We got to get every single nuance. If the Bar Shalom felt the necessity to send us this message via Tosis and Kedushin Dav Gimel and Aleph, so we got to listen very, very carefully. So that's where you have to have a certain mindset. We say and learn the days before Rosh Hashanah. Not just regular days of the year. Ready, getting close to the time of meeting the Melech. So we want to meet the Baruch Shalom, the Melech Machim Lachim. We want to meet him with the Zvah HaMalchus in front of us. On that note, let's get back to Chalipin. We should have turned on the recorder next week. Okay, Rabbi Yisai. So we're trying to solve one dilemma Tosfos has. Tosfos started us off with, does the Kiddush Chalipin apply to a Goy or not? Why can't condition that gimel where the kiddush chalipin applies to a guy? I'll figure that out. So Tai says, no, it makes all the difference in the world for condition that gimel, because the Gemara is entertaining a very realistic havamina that chalipin should work for kiddushin, and that havamina is predicated on the assumption that it would have worked for Stei Ephraim, because after all kiddushin is emanating from Stei Ephraim. So Tosfos is bothered with the problem. Tosfos says that if you're going to tell me that chalipin doesn't work for a goy, then the whole yafus and the whole lima from Stei Ephraim is undermined. So Tosfos says, Zetim from da, you see from this Gemara, you're under shadow of a doubt that chalipin works for a goy. Tosfos said, you have to conclude. If you don't conclude that, then this Gemara makes no sense. So we already saw yesterday, other Rishayim weren't so bothered with this Gemara. And he recorded Yeshayim and Nachi Yeshayim. There are other ways to wiggle out of this Gemara. But again, we're going big with the Tosfos right now. Tosfos, the rest of the sugya is that chalipin must work for goy. The show must go on. The goy must have kiddush chalipin, or else you can't make any sense out of condition that given. Why is that so problematic? Why is that so dramatic? A statement of Tosfos that a goy is chalipin. Whoop-de-doo, a goy is a kiddush chalipin. So Tosfos says, no, it's not so simple. Because this flies in the face of everything the Gemara tells in the beginning of the second birth of the Chayrus, the Gemara spends so much time in discussing what the Kinyani Yisrael are, what the Kinyani Akam are, and the one theme, that underlying theme of the entire sugya, is that they're different. If it works for a Jew, it doesn't work for a Goy. Works for a Goy, doesn't work for a Jew. That's the Gzeres Kosov Lat Misecha. Taisha said, how do we resolve the fact that on the one hand, we find a condition of Gimel that Chalipim must work for a Goy, otherwise the Gemara doesn't read smoothly, in light of the fact that Lamisecha tells us that the halachas have to be different from one another. That was the source of Taisha's entire problem. So we pointed out at the end of the show yesterday, Taisha's only got into a pickle because they got themselves into a pickle. Namely, they read the Gemara in Becheris, and they thought the Gemara in Becheris was really telling us something that was accurate. The Rambam said it was telling us to be accurate until you turn the page. The Rambam says that if you turn to the next page in Becheris, you'll come to the realization that the Gemara itself backed out from that whole drush of Lamisecha. Proof positive, the Rambam holds that Moses' kindness for Yisrael and Moses' kindness for a Goy, how can it be? How can the same kingdom be kind for both? You see, for me, the Rambam wasn't gerus at all. I don't mean literally wasn't gerus, but the Rambam's opinion was that whole sugya of Lamisecha at the end of the day goes up in smoke. So therefore, the Rambam had no problems with that Gemara and Kiddushin. The Rambam said, yeah, Chalipa works for Goy, Lama lo. Kesef also works for Goy. Everything works for Goy. Goyim and Jews are all the same for Kiddush. There's no difference between Goyim and Jews vis-a-vis Parshas Kinyan. But Tosfos, who did take that Gemara in Becheiris very seriously, who felt that is the Gemara is not just Tchilas HaSugya, but Maskanas HaSugya as well. So Tosfos really got pushed into a box to try to show you it's got to be that Kinyan Chalipin applies for a Goy. It must be. There's no other way. The only Gemara that's forcing Tosfos is this Gemara Kedushin of Gimel. We saw that this Gemara Kedushin is not so convincing. There are ways to wiggle out of this Gemara. With any other Gemaras that's forcing Taisus into this checkmate, that we have to come up with some kind of a reason why Chalipin works for a Goy. So there's another Gemara, also a little bit later on in Maseches Kedushin. It's a very, very important Gemara. All Gemaras are important, but it's a very important Gemara for us in the first parak, because this Gemara is going to come back to us multiple times. There are many, many diyukim that the Rishonim have based on this Gemara. So today, the Kitzur Nimrat, the Gemara Kedushin of Ches, is discussing, once again, one of our favorites, Kinyan Eved Ivri. And the Torah says about an Eved Ivri that the method of acquiring an Eved Ivri, mikesef miknoso. Now, it just happens to be that phrase, mikesef miknoso, happens not to be talking about your standard average Eved Ivri. It's talking about the kind of Eved Ivri that really shouldn't be. Now, the truth is, no Eved Ivri. We don't want any Eved Ivri to be. Eved Ivri is a bad thing, but the worst kind of case of Eved Ivri is an Eved Ivri who's sold to who? So to a Goy, I mean, that's bad. Here he's in the house of the Goy. How's he going to keep Shabbos? How's he going to keep Davin? It's going to be a big mess. This is the last thing we want. But the Torah says it happens. If the person never sold himself, he couldn't find the Jew to buy him, he got a better deal from a Goy, he went in and sold himself to a Goy. It's a disaster. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But it happened. And the Kinyan is Chal. Not only is the Kinyan Chal, but the Torah says that don't take the attitude that, well, come on, here, you know, Laman Hashem, you know, Hashem Shemayim, let's go get this Jew away from the Goy. Let's go kidnap him away from the Goy. We'll cheat the Goy out of his money. The innocent Goy. The Goy bought the Eved Ivri, bought him honestly. So I would think the right thing to do is, well, we're going to go and take him away from the Goy. We'll throw a couple of pennies at the Goy and call it a day. So what does the Torah say? No, I do that. The Torah says, you have to be medachnik. You have a right to redeem the Jew. You have an obligation to redeem the Jew. You can even force the Adam to sell the Jew back. The same as you can do to an Eved Ivri and Nikkel Yisrael, also you can force the Adam to sell him back. But you have to give every last penny, every last pruta. The Chishav im Kaneyo, Yedaktik im Kaneyo. So the Gemara action, the end of the Kamados, if you ever remember this is one of the sources that Gezel Acham, we lost him in our Torah. You're not allowed to steal from Goyim. The Pasuk says, Befeish, the Chishav im Kaneyo. You have to, every last penny, every last pruta, you have to be careful to pay him back. You shouldn't cheat the Goyim. But the din is that the Goy bought him with Kesef, and now you're buying back with Kesef, as the Torah says, Mikesef Miknasim. So the Gemara in Yushin Dav Ches has a drasha on this phrase, Mikesef Miknasim, Mikesef Unikne, the Eino Nikne Betvu Vikalim. Very, very esoteric, very, very vague drasha, that Kesef, yeah, a Betvu Vikalim, no. So the Gemara tries to work through the details. What do the words mean? So what would your initial reaction be to such a drasha? If you were sitting, in the Midbar, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes out from Har Sinai, and he reads you this psukah from Parshas Bahar, and he says, V'chishev v'mkadeyum, v'kesef v'knasai, and Moshe Rabbeinu explains, Rabban Shalom told me, v'kesef v'niknev yad niknev v'tuv v'kelem. What would you think? What would you think those words mean? V'kesef v'niknev yad niknev v'tuv v'kelem. that Shavuot Kesser is no good. That's what I would have thought. That would have been my initial reaction. So I raised my hand in shir and I said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I think what you just told me is that Shavuot Kesser is not Yikasef. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that's the wrong pshat. You get no points in the Bechina for that answer. Why? Because, of course, Shavuot Kesser is Kesef. I just told you a minute ago, Yashiv, L'Rabba, Shavuot Kesser, Yikasef. Of course, everybody knows. Everyone knows Kiddush that day. Everybody knows Shavuot Kesser is Kesef. So what do those words mean? That Mikasef Gnos, Mikasef Nikon, and Nikon, Turu Bekele. So the Gemara goes on a long of a guilt trying to figure it out. So again, we get to Daf Ches, we'll talk about all the different, there are 2, 3, 4 different possibilities in the Gemara, what that phrase means. But we want to focus only on one of the pshat. One of the possibilities the Gemara says is, Mikasef Nikna, Ve'eno Nikna Bawa. What does Tua mean? Turu Bekele is a code phrase for what? For Chalipin. It means you can buy an Eved Ivri b'kesef, but you can't buy an Eved Ivri with Chalipin. That's what the drasha means. Now, between you and me, the Gemara rejects that drasha on purely technical grounds. It has to do with the payers. Again, hopefully we'll get to the Ches. Some point, we'll get to the Ches. When? I can't tell you. Some point between now and June's man, we'll get to the Ches. So we'll see why the Gemara rejects that. But at least at one point in history, there was a viable Havamina that's what the phrase meant. The Kesef Unikna, Ve'en Unikna B'tuva B'Kelim. So comes Tosis and Gimel Aleph in Kiddushin and discovered that Gemara. See, Tosis, they're on Daf Gimel, but they already learned Daf Ches. They already learned Daf Yom. They already knew what it said 5 lines ahead. Some people, they see all the Shikul Torahs, they have no idea what it says on the next page. So Tosis already knew. So Tosis had in mind Daf Ches. In the bottom of Gimel Aleph, so Tosis writes, 4 lines from the bottom, says the Gemara is disqualifying an Eved Ivri to be nikne ayadei chalipin, but any other object can be nikne al chalipin. Now, who is the meicher and koina in those pesukim? Who is the Eved Ivri being sold to? I just told you a minute ago. So the implication that Gemara is that an Eved Ivri can't be bought the Chalipin, but you can sell your car to a guy the Chalipin, you can sell your house, you can sell your bag of potatoes to a guy the Chalipin. So Tosis says, oh, we have another Gemara. So Baruch Hashem, Tosis dug up a second Gemara. So again, this is Tosis' whole theory, is it going to be Chalipin or not? So the pros and the cons, right? Akum the Chalipin. So we have 2 Gemaras that sound like yes. What are the 2 Gemaras? So Agamar, Kedushin of Gimel and Aleph, the whole sugya from Sde Ephraim. Number 2, the Gemara in Daf Ches, that only an Eved Ivri can be bought, but other products, other property can be bought for a Goy Derech Chalipin. What was the Gemara that sounded no? What was the Gemara that sounded no? The Gemara in Bechayrus. So Tosis is going to do some surgery in this Gemara to get rid of this Gemara. Not like the Rambam, took this Gemara and posted it out. But Tosis is not going to do that. Tosis is going to show you why that Gemara in Bechayrus is not relevant. These 2 Gemaras carry the day, says Tosis. So we already saw our Gemara in Daf Gimel. We weren't so impressed. The Meiri wasn't too concerned about. What do you do with Daf Ches? What do you do with Kedushin Daf Ches? That's a pretty solid raya. You can't buy an Eved Ivri with Tevuah V'Kelim with Chalipin. Dice anything else you can. That's a good raya, you know? Okay, so Asha suggests that, well, the truth is that one line of the Gemara doesn't even last, but it doesn't last for technical grounds. The Gemara doesn't ask that kasha. Yes, I see. Say like Ash, like the truth is that line in the end is not the correct pshat in the drasha anyway, but it's not the correct pshat on pure technical grounds. But the fundamental, you see from that Gemara, you know, you have this all the time. This is general style in learning. Sometimes the Gemara will say something, and it'll give you a whole presentation, a whole sheet, and there are 15 different premises behind that line of the Gemara, even though that line is not halacha, that line is not correct, but we can extract from that line something that is important for us. That's what Rashi writes in Ksuba Stuff and Zayin. That's ultimately what Eilu Eilu Dibelok in Chayim means, says Rashi. That even when you have a sheet that's Shalai Kealocha, it means that Shalai Kealocha in this particular, it doesn't play out right over here, but there's so much truth behind it that if the situation changes a drop, so it will be relevant. L'halocha. So Rashi learns, but according to Rashi, Eilu V'Eilu means that even if the sheet is at a quote unquote wrong, there's still a tremendous amount of truth that can be extrapolated correctly. The Ritvan Erevin writes that that's not what Eilu V'Eilu means. Eilu V'Eilu means that when the Rebbe Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, so he gave him different habipanim la'Torah, sifrim panim la'Torah. He gave him different ways of understanding that in theory you could paskin tameh, in theory you could paskin tohar. Certain things are clear cut. Certain things are tameh, tohar, mutar, asur. There's no elu ve'elu. You're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. That's not elu ve'elu. The pasuk chumash or savash chumash we say. You're not allowed to eat the chametz and pesach. That's the pasuk chumash. There are certain things that are not elu ve'elu, but there are certain things that the Rebbe Hashem presented to Moshe Rabbeinu as subject to the determination of the Chacham Yisrael shebechol dor v'dor. That's what elu ve'elu means. That's what the Rebbe writes. That elu ve'elu means that the Rebbe Hashem left it. At, this is true. Because if the Chacham Yisrael would paskin this possibility, that would be Torah. That would be chal on and mamash the correct tzach halacha. It's just that the Rav HaChacham paskin against it. So Mamela, in terms of being noig l'maisa, you have to be noig like tapi achrei rav mahatas. But Rashi doesn't learn. Rashi doesn't exubis. That elu ve'elu means that in every shita there's truth l'halacha. The particular case that the way they presented it is quote unquote not true, but within every shita lift a little bit of truth that can be extracted. So here, over here, and the Ches, we're not going to do anything with that line of the Gemara. We don't follow that line of the Gemara, but we could still extrapolate some truth from it. So, is there any other way to be doich of that Gemara? So, we don't want to be doich of the Gemara like you guys are doich. How can you be doich of that Gemara? So, the Shach is a very creative way of reading that Gemara. The Shach writes that when the Gemara says that the Kesev of Nikta, Vieta Nikta, Betuah Vekalim, assuming the incorrect Shat Lalach, assuming that it means Eda Nikta Bechalipin, so we thought, why is it in a nikta b'chalipin? We thought it's some kind of a din prati in Eved Ivri. We thought some kind of a quirk in Uchas Eved Ivri that someone in Eved Ivri can't b'chalipin to a guy. Yeah, we thought that was something very, very unique about Eved Ivri. What does the Shach learn? What's the other way? This is the source that there's no kin in chalipin for a guy. This is a din klal. You know why ain't a nikta b'tuva v'kelim? Because we're talking about being nikta to a guy, and a guy doesn't have chalipin. He took the Gemara that was a kash and turned it into a teretz. He said that this is dafka the right against Tosfos, that the reason why in a nikta b'chalipin is because of this gzeras hakasov, because kespik nasov yet a nikta b'tuva v'kelim, because the pasuk is talking about goyim. So the Shach says that this gemara was not a raya that this chalipin for a goy. If anything, what do you do with the gemara and the pches? He moved teams with it. He moved it to this category. This is the source that ain't chalipin be'achim. Why do you think Tosfos didn't like that? Well, I think Tosfos didn't like that.
Why would you need
a deal? Yeah, but this imtum to learn that there's no chalipin for a goy. What's the real mocha for it? Lamisecha. That's what Tosfos' starting point was. I need a pasuk to tell me that there's no chalipin for a goy. Forget it. I need a pasuk to tell me there is chalipin for a goy. The starting point of going to Tosfos is lamisecha. If it's a kid in Yisrael, it doesn't work for a goy. So now I need a gzeras hakasov to tell me that there is. They tell me that there's not. So it's backwards, says Tosfos. So, but the Shach was doicha the shraya. Fine. So at the end of the day, we don't really have an absolute convincing raya one direction or the other. We have two. We have Tosfos' thought of Gibbolus. Miri said no. Tosfos' thought of Ches is convincing. The Shach says no. But Tosfos stands by their guns. Tosfos concludes that the emes is that there's got to be a kid in chalipin for a goy. Just has to be. Tosfos convinced that that's the way it is. Two gemaras, maybe raya, maybe not raya. Tosfos convinced this way. But Tosfos has a big problem. What's Tosfos' big, big problem? What's staring them in the face? What's staring Tosfos in the face? The Gemara where? So what do you do with the Gemara Mechayas? What do you do with that Gemara? So Tosfos gives you some kind of an answer here. Tosfos says, don't ask me from the Mechayas. You know why? The Gemara's not talking about Chalipin. The Gemara Mecheres just means that the additional kinyanim of Kesma Mashiach flip between Jews and Goyim. The Chalipin, that's universal. That's the universal kid. Works for Jews, works for Goyim. Tosfos never really explains to conceptually what's going on. Anyone read this Tosfos? What do you think Tosfos is talking about? What do you think Tosfos meant? Chalipin is different. It's different. Is there any ideas? What makes Chalipin? Manishtan a Chalipin from Kesvah Mashiachah? Kesvah Mashiachah governed by Lamisech, and Chalipin somehow lives on its own 2 feet. So the Ktois, I put Kesha Rishma, so the Ktois suggests that maybe what Tais is driving at is as follows. This Pasuk Lamisech, what was the context of this Pasuk? Who remembers? What was the pasuk really talking about? The chesim kruvim kol amisach. What was the real thrust of the pasuk? The goal of this pasuk was not to teach me pashta kinyanim. What was the real goal of the pasuk? To teach me? Teach me who? The yisur ono. As an introduction to ono, so the Torah about describe, in order to discuss the shaila of ono, we have to present what the physical reality is. The reality has to be buying and selling. If there's no buying and selling, then there's nothing. Then there's no din of ono. So very often when the Torah will introduce the chi, ki means that I'm not really telling you to do X. I'm setting up the background for when we're going to get to X. X is what's really, X is the end of the pasuk. The chi is just, you can't discuss the next din, which I want to tell you about, unless you do the first things first. So the chi simkumim kala bisecha is read that way. What other pasuk do we have in the Chumash? It's also read that way. That the Torah introduces with the ki, and the Torah really doesn't care that much about the ki. The goal is to get to the next part. Or yeah, it's a machlekes who and who? Me and the JNF. There we go, guys. Actually, remember me and the Keren Kayemet. Keren Kayemet read Psha on the pasuk. Keren Kayemet is not a Rishon, it's not a Nachman. It was a JNF. So Keren Kayemet, big sign said, "V'chisavol aretz." So they learned Psha on the pasuk. When you come to land, untatem kolitz machal. There's a mitzvah there. I said, plant trees. That's not what the pasuk means. You want to plant trees? Plant trees. Don't plant trees. Don't. It's a nice thing. Yeshiva, I'm also all favor planting trees. That's not what the buzz. No, I don't think any Yeshiva counts planting a tree in itself as a mitzvah b'fnatzma. Maybe it's part of the mitzvah of Yeshiva or it's the Rambara. It could be. It's very important, but it's not. That's not what the pasuk means. What the Torah is doing is setting up for you the mitzias beforehand. We want to get to the punchline of here, the dinner of oil and revoy, etc. If you don't plant trees, there's nothing to talk about. It's going to be an irrelevant discussion. If we're going to talk about oil, if there are no trees, there's no oil. So that's clearly what the Kabbalah supposed to be. So sometimes the psukim start with ki, and ki just has the meaning. Let's get to the punchline. There's another interesting, just as an aside, there's another very, very vague pasuk that also starts with ki, and we're not quite sure whether the ki is an end in of itself, or whether the ki is just a setup for the next part of the pasuk. What's that? Ki kachishisha. It's about time we learned that pasuk. Going through Pesach's condition. How do you read pshat in that pasuk? Ki kachishisha. Right, when you read, but your Rabbi said it 2 weeks ago. How did you translate that pasuk? Is kiyika chishisha like kisavol aretz? Is kiyika chishisha like v'chisim mimkal amisecha? Namely, the Torah is not really interested in talking about. That's not the goal of Pashas Kisei. It's kiyika chishisha. What's the goal of those psukim? What's the punchline of those psukim? To tell you what? Tell you gerushin. That's the goal of the psukim. Is to tell you the Pashas gerushin. Tell you the machzik b'shasa. Tell you how to get the get. That's the goal of those psukim. The pasuk has to introduce that before we can discuss gerushin. I can't discuss machzik v'shasa until I discuss what? How I got married in the first place. So the Torah has to tell you, by the way, ki kechishisha, it's just a prelude to the psukim, but the ki kechishisha is not really important. The Torah could have theoretically started earlier than ki kechishisha, because after all, you just got married just like that. Something had to precede getting married. When had to precede getting married? Had to go on a date, right? Something had to happen beforehand. Well, as they say, every date doesn't end in a marriage, but every marriage begins with a date. I think they say that, okay? Except in certain communities. But in our world, that's the way it goes. So, ki yika chishisha is the Turk who just as easily said, when you call the shatchan, and he has going to happen, or when you go on a date, this is going to happen, or when you, and then eventually, hopefully, we won't get to the end of the Pasha by Gerushin, but that's what Turk could have set up. So, that's how the Rush read the Pasuk. That's what the Rush says in Maseches Ksuba, that there's no mitzvah to get married. I didn't say anywhere in the Chumash, Vedav Shem Moshe, we get married. The Torah says to have children, and the Rush says, good morning, children. That's a mitzvah. Mitzvah to have children. So it could be you have to get married because, well, halachically, in a permissible fashion, to have children without getting married. Okay, that's a different discussion. But there's no mitzvah for the answer of getting married because there's no pasuk that says that. And the Rambam read the pasuk in a very strange way. The Rambam writes, we give a position, ki kachishisha is a lashon tzivoy. There's a mitzvah there, I said, ki kachishisha. The Rambam read the pasuk like the JNF read the pasuk by Orba. It's just the same way of reading the pasuk. The Rambam's entitled to his opinion. He's a Rambam. The JNF can't give you a shot in the pasuk. But again, it's just when you learn Chumash, you have to be sensitive to this. And when the Torah introduces a parasha with something with the word ki, so ki doesn't necessarily mean to do. Ki just means if and when you get around to doing it, this is what's going to happen. So getting back over here, the real thrust of this pasuk is to teach me the dinim of ono. And Derech Agav is an introduction, prerequisite is here are the parshas akinyanim, Jews, goyim, etc. There is a sheet in Rishayim. It appears originally in the Tshuvas Harif, actually. The Tshuvas Harif were written in Arabic, so your guess is as good as mine what it actually says in the Tshuva. But it was translated. So the Tshuvas Harif, it's quoted in the Shidduch Kubetzes, and the Rabbi makes reference to it, that says that when is there a din of ono? When I sell things through regular vehicles of Kesef, then there's ono. If the sale is done through Chalipin, then there's no ono for Chalipin. The whole parsha of Chalipin doesn't. The whole parsha of another Chalipin. Why? So the Tshuva Sarif says something along the lines of, "It's not a mechira. It's a barter. It's not a mechira. I'm bartering apples for oranges. I'm bartering handkerchief for Manhattan Island. I'm bartering, but that's not a sale. It's not a mechira. V'zos tefanim yisalagu ulav yala tamura. It's a tamura. It's not a mechira." Comes the Ktzois and says, if that's true, that every chalipin is not really a mechira, now I make a lot of sense out of this Ktzois. Why? What does Ktzois say? That the din of la'amisecha somehow is not typhus, it's not misyach, it doesn't relate to chalipin. Why not? What's the din of la'amisecha? Where is the word la'amisecha found? In the parish of what? Of mechiras. It's found in the parish of Ono. So the Ktzois says, just as the Rif told us in the Tshuva, that those Pesukim and Parshas Bahar speak to Mechiras. They don't speak to Chalipin. Chalipin is a different Parsha in Chumash. It's not even Chumash. It's a different din. It's a different set of rules. Just as Ono doesn't govern a Chalipin, so too the din of Lamisecha, which limits and differentiates and draws distinctions between Jews and Goyim, that's by Mechiras. It's not by Chalipin. Chalipin is a different Parsha. Why that should be so, it's hard for us to understand, because we have no idea why there should be any distinction between Jews and Goyim in Dina Mamonos. We have no idea, we don't understand this. But the same way we didn't understand the first half, we don't understand the second half. But what the Ktzois did help us with is that he already showed us a precedent in others of Halacha where it's clear, at least according to these Rishonim, the Rif around others, that the whole Parsha, Parshas Bahar, which is the source both for Ono and the source for Parshas HaKinyonim, and the source for Labisecha, the source of friendship between Jews and Goyim, only speaks to the Kinyanim of Parshas Bahar. Doesn't speak to Chalipin. Chalipin is not a Kinyan, it's not a Mechira. Chalipin is a Tamura, it's a different way of transferring ownership. There are two Dinim, there's Mechiras property, and then there's Tamura property. It's a different Parsha Ligamri. So everybody say, so we have the Tosfos down pat, we saw what prompted Tosfos to say that Yesh Kin Chalipin to Goyim, we saw the two Gemaras. We saw the Gemara in Becheiras. We saw the suggestion that Tzos has B'daitam to get out of the problem. So, you know, it's a little rough on the edges still, but we have the basic tzura of this Tzos.
Didn't the Tzos say that there was Ona by fruits, just not by animals in Chalipin?
Not just by animals. There may be nuances of sometimes yeah and sometimes no, even with the Chalipin itself, which gets a little bit stickier, but we're gonna leave that part out. Okay? So Rabbi Isai, let's go a little bit further. Let's forget this Tosfos for a minute. Let's just analyze this question just b'atzmeinu. What would we think if I pose this question in a vacuum? Should there be chalipin for a goy or not? How would you deal with that question? What would be your initial reaction? Should chalipin work for a goy? What would you say? What would be the start? What's your baseline? What's your starting point? Your baseline is too many psukim. Psukim, dashim psukim. What would be your baseline? Like Dr. Berman says, why not? In other words, is dini mamonos, right? I understand you want to. If I would start with a baseline question like this, do you think that goyim should have to eat matzah on Pesach? What would your baseline be? Probably not, right? Right. Well, goy have to eat matzah basically. Say, does a goy have to fast on Yom Kippur? I'd say, probably not. When you're dealing with religious, you know, rituals, so we know there are Shem Mitzvah Noach, which is very, very little ritual law, almost nothing, and all the mitzvah Torah, Tabachaton, Mikol Am, all the mitzvah Torah, give it to Klal Yisrael. When we're dealing with Mishpatim, we're dealing with dollars and cents, we're dealing with just simple, the Ben Adam V'Chaveiros in terms of running a normal business world, Afi Din. So, like, why should the starting point be that it doesn't apply to Goyim? Of course it doesn't apply to Goyim. Well, why not? Before I opened up Gemara Becher, before I opened up anything, so my starting point was, well, if this is one of the methods of acquisition that the Torah gives Jews, Mehecha Teisa shouldn't apply to Goyim. I think that should be the baseline. Like as Dr. Berman said so eloquently, why not? Right? We call Mehecha Teisa, why not? What's bothering us? What's eating away at us, should I say? What is making us believe differently? Only one word. That one word, lamisecha, which we would get, we were just staring us in the face. Of course, the Rambam, who didn't have that word, the Rambam held the Maskasim, well, it wasn't like that. So the Rambam said, you're back to the baseline. The Rambam, of course, Kalitin works by going, what's the shayla? Tells us to prove that even though there's a bit of lamisecha, but somehow Chalipin isn't bound by lamisecha, because it's a tmur, it's not a mechir. The whole razzle dazzle, shekotay, with the ktsais, the whole maisalach, because they had the kasha, the Rambam didn't have the kasha. No kasha, no teretz. Don't need a teretz. You don't have to answer kasha, it doesn't exist. According to the Rambam, the baseline remains the maskana line. That's the final line, that's the baseline, that's the finish line. That, of course, Chalipin works for a guy. But could somebody add a little bit more to the discussion? We know a little bit about Chalipin. There's already a third, the trilogy of Chalipin Sugis, a third about Chalipin Sugis already. We should know a little bit more about Chalipin to be able to analyze this question a little bit more intelligently. Should we think that Chalipin should work for Goyim or not? What do you think? Oh, so let's backtrack a minute. So you're making already two assumptions. So first of all, you assumed that the real question we have to ask ourselves is not whether Chalipin works. The real question we have to ask ourselves is, well, does Kiddin Kesef work for Goyim? Right? That was your just rephrased question. Does Kinyan Kesef work for Goyim? Why do you think we're talking about Kinyan? I'm talking about Kinyan Chalipin. You're talking about Kinyan Kesef. Why did you just change Kinyanim on me? I asked you a question. Is Chalipin work for Goyim? And you tell me, well, it depends whether Kesef works for Goyim. Oh, so wait a second. So Mr. Olta, wait a second. Hold on. Now we got already a Torah here. We got a Lashtical Torah here. Maybe we're learning the wrong Sugya. Maybe why are we focusing on does Chalipin work for Goyim? Why don't we push the question back and say, well, does Kesef work for Goyim? So which great Rishon didn't pose the Sugya that way? Which great Rishon didn't evaluate the Sugya that way? Tosfos didn't evaluate the Sugya this way. Tosfos knew full well that Kesef quite possibly doesn't work for Goyim, depending on Rabbi Yochanan Shlachish of yesterday. It's quite possible, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which happens to be the way of Rabbi Natan Paskin, that most are kindness for Jews, most are not kindness for Goyim by Metaplin. Tosfos knew full well that Kesef is not kindness for a Goy, and they still went on to explain that Chalipin is kindness. What gave Tosfos the right to say that? This is all part of Tosfos' grandiose theory of what? That Chalipin is what? Is not Kesef. So when you read the second half of the Tosfos, you have to read the second half in light of the first half of Tosfos. You know, it's not fair because we broke it up into two sugyas. So some people thought, oh, the first half of Tosfos was nice, mitam kesef, not mitam kesef, and sure, and end the sugya, and now start the next begoyim. No, it's one long Tosfos. We broke it up because it would have been too many marmakomas in the page, we'd rather go on to the second page, it would have been all messy. So we broke it up into sugyas to make it easy for you. That's one sugya, it's one Tosfos. Because Tosfos was so convinced by Rabbeinu Tam that Chalipin is labitam kesef, which, just to be honest, let's be intellectually honest when I said that. Tosfos was so convinced by Rabbeinu Tam that Chalipin is labitam kesef. Tosfos is convinced that way, but we're not even convinced that who held that way. We're not even sure Rabbeinu Tam held that way, because we have another version of Rabbeinu Tam, Sefer Yosha, didn't say that, but okay, we're very scholarly, you know, we're a little too scholarly for ourselves. Let's go back to what it says in the page. So Tosfos had gezocht in tradition of Gimel, Chalipin is lamitam kesef. Now that Tosfos is working with that premise, lamitam kesef, then they're willing to negotiate why Chalipin should work for a guy, even though kesef doesn't work for a guy. But if you change Tosfos' premise, if you think Rabbeinu Tam is really right, if you think that Chalipin is mitam kesef, or what other Tosfos do we know hold Chalipin is mitam kesef? What other Tosfos we know for a fact? What can you do with Chalipin? Now the pieces are starting to come together. This whole puzzle is coming together. What did Tosfos Gittin say? What can you do with Chalipin? You can even be Meshacher Awa. And have a Kenaini. Remember that Tosfos? Meshacher of a Kenaini with Chalipin. We state the Meshacher of a Kenaini with Chalipin. What does it say in the Chumash? You can be Meshacher of a Kenaini with what? With Kesef, Haftei Lon of Dasa. If it works for Kesef, works, then Chalipin works. And remember, Tosfos, Ramban, Kimam, Kim Yisrael, we spent a whole share on this last week. So if you go down the route that Chalipin is the same as Kesef, it's Mamash Hanuach, Haraya, Shichur, Haraya, at least the Havamina of the Gemara that it works for Kedushin, right? We had multiple Rishon, many Rishon who thought that Chalipin equals Kesef. Then when we discussed the issue of Akum, We cannot look at it as a chalipin sug. You cannot independently say, well, does chalipin work for a guy? What we really have to ask ourselves is, does kesef work for a guy? That's the real sugya. That's really what matters. That's the only thing that really matters. So Tosfos' whole discussion about chalipin by goy, this entire Tosfos, is predicated on the assumption, like Rabbi Natam, as they presented, the chalipin is not mitam kesef, and therefore kesef no, but chalipin efshe yes. Did everyone realize that when you read the Tosfos? Everyone realize that? That the second half of Tosfos is just a continuation of the first half. So Taka, what's the answer? Does kesef work for goy or not? What's the answer? Rabbi Metalpilin, what's the answer? What's the end? The karka, the shore it does. How do I know that? It's the Ephraim. So, the answer to the question, if you hold a chalipin as kesef, does chalipin work for a goy? The answer is going to be, it depends. It depends if you're thinking about kesef. Karka, yeah, metalpil, maybe. Tosfos didn't go into these, Tosfos didn't discuss this. Tosfos assumed chalipin is not kesef, it's an independent question, either yeah or no. And Tosfos opted yeah. So now we have almost three different possibilities out there. What's the correct answer to the question? Is chalipin kosher for a goy or not? So we have, according to Tosfos, the answer is absolutely yes, under all circumstances. According to Tosfos, lamdus, it's not a kinyan, it's not subject to amisecha, it's a tamura that works with its own rules. On the other hand, you had the Meiris, and you had the Shachs, and the others who said, no, chalipin bechalal doesn't work for a goy. Never did, never will work for a goy. Just chalipin was never given to goy, it was only given to Jews. And then you have a third possibility that doesn't appear in Tosfos, but we suggested it, that the answer is not an absolute yes and not an absolute no. It's an absolute maybe, depends. It's somewhere in the middle. It ultimately just depends on whatever you think kesef does or doesn't work. Okay, that was the Meiris Chiddush. They said that sometimes yes, sometimes no, i.e. pre-Matan Torah. Okay, but I'm talking about, we're still post-Matan Torah here, right? So we have to build this. Any other input into this? Like, what other reason should or should not enable chalipin to work? Oh, so Asher says, wait a second. We know something else about chalipin. We know that chalipin is la'amitam kesef, according to Tosfos, and we suggested... Avram suggested, what does that mean, chalipin is lamitam kesef? So Avram had this whole razzle-dazzle shukatoy about chalipin, that kesef is an absolute objective kinyan, and chalipin is more of a subjective kinyan, depending on the time and place, the fiyamidik ha-seicher. Right? You remember, see, tumta to Avram, right? So on the side of Cheshe Mishpat, there are notes written by the Chochma Shlomo, or Shlomo Kluger. So in the Chochma Shlomo, he writes me atzmai, that he predated the Avraham by a couple of years. He also had this idea that chalipin is basically like a minig ha-seichem type of halacha. Says the Chochma Shlomo, if it's a minig ha-seichem type of halacha, then of course it applies to goyim also. Why is that? Why is that? It's universal. It's not a religious kinyan. It's not a chiddush of Har Sinai. There was nothing mischadish in Har Sinai of kinyan chalipin. Kinyan chalipin is just the normal minig ha-seichem. Like the heichet teisa, there should be a difference when you're dealing with halachas that are determined by the derech hamakom, if you're makom, if you're the culture. So the goyim also vote as to what's considered to be the culture. If the goyim have an input into these types of halachas, the goyim don't have an input into what Shabbos is. The goyim's standards of culture are irrelevant. What tefillin is. The goyim's standards of culture are irrelevant when you're talking about even dinim of dinim momenus that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsinai with very specific categories. If the culture says, let's say, Lamashal, I don't know, that an Erecha doesn't have the ability to be Mashbir you or something, that's the word on the street is that Shavuos Erecha doesn't make any sense, that's totally meaningless. The Torah said, if I care, I'll forget what the Goyim say. But here, the whole halacha is predicated on what the Nog Sheba Olam is. So it says, Rishon Makul, Mehechatais, it shouldn't apply to Goyim. Why don't Goyim have a vote in this? Why is it not relevant to Goyim? I give you Mashal Mod David Daim, it's a Ran and Mesechus the Darm. We always love the Ran and the Darm, right? All these big heavy-duty lumdus and rans in the Dharm. There's a ran on the base, very beginning of Masechet the Dharm, where the ran talks about, the first mission of the Dharm speaks about kinuye in the Dharm. Kinuye in the Dharm means, that let's say a person takes an ad, they don't really use the accurate word that the normal official formal Queen's English word of neder is. So let's say lemoshel, instead of saying the right word, they use some kind of a word that, you know, we know what it means, but that's not the way we would normally, a normal person would, but you know, an eloquent speaker wouldn't use such a word. So that's what's called kinuyim. It's a kinuy, it's like a nickname for that particular word. So the first Mishnah Nedarim says, called kinuy Nedarim, ki Nedarim. So even though it's not the exact proper formulation in Lashon HaKodesh, so it's still considered to be a neder. So the Gemara gives you a few examples of some words like this. Let's say the word, normally, if you look up in pure Hebrew, if you wanted to take a neder, so you would say that this apple should be like a carbon to me. That would be the normal way of saying a Lashon neder. So instead of saying the word carbon, what word do you use? Konam, right? Konam, right? Konam, right? You say konam. So why don't you say the word carbon? So the Gemara says, I don't know. Konam is a kinoy for the word carbon. And therefore, the konam is binding. The nedr is binding. Even though wording, lashon, is so critical in the darim, if you say the wrong word, so then it's not binding because you need dibur. But that's considered to be an expression, a proper expression of speech. The Gemara says, machlekes, where did this word konam come? Who made it up? Who coined this phrase konam? What was wrong with the word carbon? So the Gemara says, whether this is a lashon ha'umos, it means it's almost like a slang type of a thing that, you know, people, it's like a corrupted form of lashon HaKodesh. Is that what konam means? Or is konam a lashon to tiknu chachamim? That the chachamim wants, if your guy wants to take a neder, no great mitzvah to take a neder, but if you want to take a neder, don't use the word carbon, use the word konam. Why did the chacham not want to use the word carbon? Because if you say carbon, you may, by mistake, say carbon Hashem. You may say Hashem's name, but that'll be like a motzi shem shemayim levatal. That'll be like, this apple should be like a carbon Hashem, and you're going to say the shem ha'mefayrish, the aim of yira, yaitzepik, it's not going to be nice. It's going to be a bizarre Hashem. So therefore, they wanted to keep people away from saying the word carbon, so they made up a make-believe word called kainam. The machlokes is about where did this kainam, the kainam a slang that just developed on its own, or is it kainam alasha shebaruch hacham? So the Ran, in the beginning of Masechet Nedarim, discusses, is there any nafkamina ladina? Whether it's a slang or whether it's a lashon baruch hacham, so the Ran says no. He says there's no nafkamina ladina. It's deraisa no matter how you slice it. You know why? Says the Ran, what defines whether something is a lashon? What defines whether something is, has a meaning or not? So let's say I say the following. There's a din of, you could say Shema b'chol lashon, right? You could say Shema Yisrael. So you could say, Hear, O Israel, and your Yotzei. What if I say like this? What if I say, I'm getting ready to say Shema b'chol Yisrael, b'yahavo, and I'm about to say Shema, and instead of saying here, Israel, I say, writing on the blackboard with a marker. And somebody says to me, what does that mean? I say, well, in my language, writing means here, O means blackboard, and Israel means a marker. I made up the language. I wrote a dictionary. Here it is. I'll show you my website. It's my fakrum to language. Why not? So why is that silly? Why is that ridiculous? Is that, what if I say that here, O Israel, Shema Israel, that's Shema Israel. A language, there's a concept of a lashon. A lashon means that it's something that's accepted by who? By some degree of people. You can't have your own language. You can talk to yourself. I mean, a lot of crazy people talk to themselves. But you can't talk to yourself. You have a language with yourself. A language means that there's a group of people who've gotten together who are assuming that this is what the words mean. That's the very definition of the word lashon. That's what language means. Who creates a language? Who is conveying whether something is a language? Who? People, culture, they determine what the language is, ultimately. So comes around and says, whether kinui is a slang, or kinui is baruch hachamim, at the end of the day, people are using these words. At the end of the day, when you ask a guy in the street, what does kinda mean? They'll tell you, it means a carbon. So it doesn't really matter whether the source is, it's developed by the linguists and the slang on the streets, or whether it's developed by the chum. At the end of the day, it's usage, it's common usage. The definition of lashon, kol Torah kula, is defined by what the olam hat gezacht is, a language. What the Ran is saying about languages is exactly what Avraham Chacham Shlomo was saying about kinyanim. That's a form of kinyanim in halacha. But the oilam hatgezach, if common culture, if common people on the street, the hamon am, this is a normal way of transferring ownership of property, that is the chiddush, that is chalit, that is kinyanim. If that's the case, just as the Ran says, it doesn't matter what Jews are going. Let's say a guy takes a neder in English. You can say, nope, the Torah doesn't recognize English. The Torah doesn't recognize English. It is a nice language. Who was conveying English? Who decided that the word table means a table? Who made that up? Some guy, Anglo-Saxon, 800,000 years ago, days of Chaucer, decided that it means a table. It's not a table. He has Ruach HaKodesh. You don't need Ruach HaKodesh to determine a language, but whatever the Olam HaGezach, whatever the Olam does, that's considered to be a language. So the same is Mamash true, says the Chacham Shlomo, when it comes to Kiddush Halipin, I don't care, it's not religious, it's not holy, it's not spiritual. Whatever the goyim in the street, in the marketplace, what they're doing on the diamond district, whatever they're doing, the Jews, not Jews, whatever they're selling diamonds, that's a Kenyan. So the Chacham Shlomo is taking almost a different approach than what we're having over here. We're trying to figure out, Me'atzmeinu, should Halipin apply to goyim or not? So according to the Rambam, the baseline was, of course it should apply to goyim. What's the shaila, right? So Rambam says, there's no drush on Amisecha, of course it applies to goyim. And the Mamonos are the same Jews and goyim. Tosfos, who was stuck with Amisecha, the Tosfos got into a pickle. Should it work, should it not work? So the Tosfos said, no, it's going to work anyway, because you know why? Because Kinyan Chalipin is not governed by Amisecha. You know why? Because it's not a Kinyan, it's a Temura, something different. Okay. Then we had the other Rishonim who would say Chalipin equals and Chalipin equals Kesef, so therefore, well, if Kesef works, Chalipin works. If not, not. And then you have to learn the sugya whether Kesef works or goyim. Karka b'talzim, machayis v'biyach, v'shloch, v'shitzet. Fine. We're suggesting me'atzmeinu ahol. And Chacham Shlomo is suggesting me'atzma nupshat that no, the issue whether Chalipin works for goyim, it's a moot point. We're not, the din of Amisecha, the difference is goyim and Jews. Those are kinyanim. This is not a kinyan, not because it's a tmura like the Tzitzis is saying, because the guidelines, the parameters, this kinyan came into existence. It's a kinyan, but it came into existence not because of pasuk and chumash. It came into existence because of the minhag shiva olam. The minhag shiva olam. There's no difference between Jews and God. Can we come up with something else? Another issue. Reb Chaim, right? Reb Chaim told us that Chalipin is not really a kinyan altogether. I mean, in the classic, it's not a maisik kinyan in the classic sense. Who remembers Reb Baruch Ber and Reb Chaim? Didn't we just talk about that? Das! Other kinyanim, das is kind of a secondary. You need das. In addition to a maisik kinyan, you need das also. So, Reb Chaim, by Chalipin, it's not maisik kinyan plus das. That's all there is right no more. The maisik kinyan is the das kufa. So giving you the sutra is not a maisik kinyan. It doesn't talk to us, doesn't speak to us, doesn't address the issue. It's just an expression of das. So what do you think now? If you think that Chalipin is just das, I think that plays out for goyim. Think it should work or should not work? Who here thinks it should work? Who here thinks it shouldn't work? So somebody in this matter, the last 2 days, has been coming over to me a few times and trying to sell me the same story. I don't think he's right. I try to be nice about it. I don't think he's right. He's telling me that according to Reb Chaim, it can't work for goyim. You know why? Because only a Jew can have das. So goy can't supply this das for Chalipin, and therefore it's not going to work. I thought Bechlal was. That was not correct, Bechlal. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that when you want to write a get, so a goy can't do it. Even if you have a Jew standing over, it's not going to work. It's akamadayit the nafshik of it. But a goy somehow can't put together this das for this kavanah, the shmo, whatever it is, for writing a get. That a goy can't do. So that means because a goy can't figure out how to do it. That's what it means. So that's what this like this person was telling me. The Shtilat Torah is almost, he didn't quote that Gemara, but that's what he probably had in mind, in the back of his mind. That, I don't know if he did or not, but I'm telling you that's what he had in the back of his mind. That just as we see that there are differences between Jews and goyim in terms of creating das, so there's a difference that only a Jew can create the high level of das necessary for Kiddush Halipin. Right, Bechlal, I don't think that's right, because Shakir, Reb Chaim himself, and another Reb Chaim, earlier in the Sefer Nuch, still quotes from the Dayan and Bris. Remember the Dayan and Bris was? Simcha Zelig. He was Reb Chaim's colleague in Bris. So Reb Chaim quotes from Simcha Zelig that if you look carefully at the Rambam, this din that a goy can't write a get because it's not lishma, it's not because the goy is not smart enough to do lishma, not because the goy can't concentrate on lishma, not because he can't pay attention. Why can't he write lishma? What does the Gemara mean when it says a goy can't create lishma? You know why? Because he's mufka from lishma. In order to create lishma, you have to be in the parsha of lishma. A goy, gittin doesn't speak to goyim. Goyim doesn't know gittin enough kedushin. The whole parsha doesn't speak to him. So when the Gemara says that a goy can't create the das and the kavan and the lishma, that's not because there's any difference in his intellectual capacities. It's just a simple statement of halachic reality. You can't create lishma unless lishma is part of your world. A goy can't muster up enough. The goy is very smart. His IQ is much smarter than me. got a guy with a, he got a 1500 on SATs, and I got a 600 on my SATs. So he's very, very smart. He knows exactly what he's doing. He can't think of chalipin. I can think of chalipin. I can't do anything. I can think of chalipin. He can think of chalipin much better than me. He'll say the Reb Chaim is better than me. He understands Reb Chaim is better than I do. I know what Reb Chaim is talking about. So you can tell me that a guy can't muster up a kid in Das. I don't think that makes any sense. I think that if it's based on Das, forget of anything, a guy could do it the same as a Jew could do it. So I'll go upon him. This issue, whether or not even for a guy, it really hinges on so many different, there's so many variables, there's so many different possibilities. Either Chalipin is based on being a Tamura, not a Kenyan, that was Toys' approach, or the Rambam's approach that see how many things, how many quotes we got over here. So we have Toys is saying that Toys with the Ktois is that Chalipin is not really a Kenyan altogether, it's a Tamura. We have the Rambam, who says what? So therefore, according to Tosfos, it works. If the Rambam who says that Lamisecha doesn't exist, there's no such drasha, and therefore, is it going to work? Absolutely. Then you have Adi Rishayim who say that let's say the Tosfos Gittin, right? Tosfos Gittin, who says that Chalipin is Mitam Kesef. So according to that, is it going to work? So what do we get? A definite what? A definite. How do we make a maybe sign? Depends. Depends. Okay? Definitely depends over there. Depends on whether Kesef works. Then we have, according to the Dvar Avram and Mechacha Shlomo, what's the answer? That Chalipin is what? Chalipin is Minik HaSeichrim. What's going to be the answer? It's going to be what? You should get a good yes out of that. If Chalipin is based on Reb Chaim, that's based on Das, so I think we should get a yes out of that one also. Right? So we have a lot of reasons why Chalipin should either totally work by Goyim or at least partially work by Goyim. Who's on the other side? Who's telling us that no, Chalipin is not working by Goyim? Sorry, Charlie, it's just not working by Goyim. Who's telling that to us? The Me'iri told it to us, right? Right? The Me'iri said it. She's number 6. What was the source? Why does it not work? Why is it not going to work? Because what word? What word? It was one word. Lamisecha, right? Like Tosis Kasha, right? One word, Lamisecha. So Chalipin is not going to work. It ain't going to work. What was another reason for left field, I don't know if we can see it anymore, why maybe Chalipin doesn't work? Nothing to do with Lamisecha. A new drasha. Who is that? The Shach. The Shach said Me'atzmai. Then maybe it doesn't work. Why? Because of Eino Nikna Kesef Gnasa, right? Eino Nikna Betuva V'Kalim, right? Eino Nikna Betuva V'Kalim, the Gemara Kedushin. Another reason. Anyone have another reason? Another Marbar? Another possibility? We're already throwing Pesukim around. He said it. Zos Tefanim, what? Be Yisrael, Lamala, Be Yisrael, Lamala, Goyim. Why not make a drushin, right? Somebody says that. Somebody has a drushin. Who said that? I don't know. One of the Mepharshim Megillas says that. So we got a lot of possibilities. We got 7 possibilities here. 4 in the direction that it absolutely unequivocally works. 2 in the direction it absolutely unequivocally does not work. And 1 in the direction of that it depends. Those are the 7 shitas that seem to play out of this. It's pretty simple. No, when you read the Gemara, the Taisa, someone figured it out. 7 logical possibilities. When was the last time we tried to sell something with Chalipin to a guy? Have we tried that? We do it all the time. Well, those who some Mechir's Bechor tried, why do they try to do that? Because which two Kinyanim failed us miserably? Kesef Mashiach, because we can't figure out which is right. Not so simple. Mechir's Chometz is a disaster. Because if you want to do Mashiach on Chometz, you got to go, guys, you gotta go around to every single bottle of liquor and pick up every single bottle of liquor. Baruch Hashem, you know, in my community, that'll be very easy because there's no liquor. But in other places, it's going to be hard. So one suggestion was made, well, do a Kinyan Chalipin. It's so much easier. Instead of the guy, Kesef and Mashiach and all this Balagan, just do Kinyan Chalipin. Why not? So according to most of the Rishonim, 4 out of 7, we got absolute yeses. We got 2 no's and 1 maybe. That's not a bit 4, 2, and 1. That's a pretty good make it to the playoffs and that. So most Rishonim, most of the logical possibilities, and Rishonim, and Reb Chaim, and Rav, can call them Rishonim for this, most of the logical possibilities point in the direction that it's okay. So Chalipin would be pretty good. So you know what we do when we sell Chametz, by the way? We throw that in for good luck. We're not really sure if the kesef is going to work. Mashicha we can't practically do. So we throw chalipin in for good luck. So one of the many kinyanim that takes place at Mechiras Chametz, anyone ever seen, not between the rabbi and the congregants. No. When you sell your chametz to the rabbi, you're not really selling your chametz. You're appointing the rabbi to be a shliach. So we're doing chalipin for a different reason. When the Jew sits with the grave, and I sit with Mr. Brown, Erev Pesach, so we do a kinyan chalipin. Everyone knows what we use. What do we use for kinyan chalipin? You got to use kelo shel who? Kelo shel kona. So for many, many years, those who were not in the shiur before, Mr. Brown was the non-Jew who was involved in the Mechiras Chametz for many rabbanim around the tri-state area, myself included. So he's been doing this. He told us already this year how old he was. He's over 80 already. He's been doing it for a good 40 years or so. So for many, many years, he brought his kli for kinyan chalipin. It was a trusted knife. A special Swiss Army knife or something that he'd been for dairy. They've been using this the knife. And one year, Mr. Brown showed up without his knife. And he asked him, "What happened?" You won't believe this. He had forgot that he had not allowed to take it onto the plane, and he had put it into his handbag or something, and they confiscated it. And he said, "How can you take away my knife? This is the Kinyan Chalipin knife." And can you believe it? They didn't give it back. It's sitting somewhere in some airport, in some garbage bin in the airport. So he got another knife. Anyway, so he got a second knife. This is the Tashlumin, the Chalipin of the original Chalipin knife. So we're machmer to do a Kinyan Chalipin. So we're so machmer in this that I have to tell you the truth that Mr. Brown taught me this din. My first year as being a rabbi, I came to do the Mechiras Chametz, and we were sitting with him it was my turn on the line of 40 other people, and we got to the part of the Kinyan Chalipin. And so I skipped over it. We did the Kesef, and we did the Yagav, and we did this, and forgot the Kinyan Chalipin on the Karka. It was all complicated. So we forgot one of the two. We do two Kinyan Chalipins, one on the Chametz, and one on the places where the Chametz are, and then we do a Kinyan Agav and a Chatzar after that. So we do a Kinyan Chalipin twice. I forgot to do the second Kinyan Chalipin with him. So he stops me. He says, "Rabbi, you forgot to do the second." I don't think he calls it Chalipin, whatever he calls it. "You forgot to do the second time with the knife." I said, "You're right, Mr. Brown, you're totally right. I'm a new, inexperienced rabbi. I was going quickly, Every place my wife thought I got to get home and help give the kids a bath, it's getting late, so I forgot to do the second Kinyan Chalipin." No. So Mr. Brown said to me, I'll never forget his words. He said, "You know, Rabbi, I'm an expert in Mechiras Chametz." So I started to chuckle, so I said, "You know what it means to be an expert? An expert means to know a lot about a little." That's what he said. He's not sure. You think about that's what an expert is. He doesn't. I probably could have learned Kedushin Daf Samach Aleph better than he can, but in terms of Chalipin with a Goy, he knew the Sugya better than I did. He knew that you got to do it. Okay, anyway. So Rabbi Sai, so we think that Kinyan Chalipin is going to work, right? We were pretty sure that Kinyan Chalipin is going to work. But we're not 100% sure. Back of my mind, we're a little nervous. So we have other Kinyan Mabas sleeves for Mechiras Chametz and Mechiras Bechor. So remind me tomorrow to tell you a funny story about Kinyan Chalipin with a Goy, not about Mechiras Chametz. Remind me how to do it with Tefillas Kelim. And then we have to get to the end of the Taisa. The Taisa says, even if you're doing Chalipin with a Goy, you have to be careful about something that's very, very unclear in the line of Taisa. What exactly have to be careful about? Okay,
yeah.